The national murder rate is up. Now, it's still well below what it was in the early 1990s, contrary to recent claims by the president. But it is rising, thanks to a surge in shootings in a handful of cities. NPR's law enforcement correspondent Martin Costi spent some time in one of those places where things have been especially bad, New Orleans.
The sad thing about New Orleans is it was making progress. In 2013, the city got its murder rate down by about 20%, and the rate stayed lower for a couple of years, but not anymore.
We have 5 people shot, ma'am.
Y'all started blocking off the streets.
On February 10th, New Orleans reached its 100th shooting victim. That's the total number of people killed or wounded since the start of the year, and hitting 100 usually takes a month longer. It reached that milestone here in the Central City neighborhood under a partially eclipsed full moon. Candace McMillan is half a block from the scene, squinting through the flashing blue lights. She knows the people who got shot.
And they hang out in this area down here. And it was my understanding that a car spun on them, just drive by, shoot.
She's trying to get closer because a Central American man who works for her lives on that corner, and it seems a stray bullet has hit his wife.
And then, so he's hollering and screaming and crying in the phone, but I can't get to him because...
There he is.
He's done, yeah, here he is. Hey, Herma. Hello?
The police ain't gonna get you.
So is the police gonna let me come?
McMillan's allowed through, and soon she finds out that the man's wife is dead. Of the 6 people shot here, she's the lone fatality, and she's also the one who is least likely to have been the target. What's haunting about this scene is how routine it feels. Some of the neighbors gawk, but most of them just go about their business while the police close the intersection with yellow crime tape. It's recycled crime tape. They untangle it from a big wad in the trunk of one of the police cars. Nearby, a man calling himself Sean is idly scrolling through his phone.
Yeah, it's going to be a cycle where it's going to be, if 6 people got shot, I'm sure 6 more are going to get shot.
But then he says you've got to remember that this is mostly just bad guys killing other bad guys. It's something you hear a lot in New Orleans, and it's supposed to make it easier to live here. But it's no consolation to Lisa Fitzpatrick. She's a Methodist pastor with a mission in this neighborhood. She ministers to some of those same young bad guys, as Sean calls them.
I don't know that they're out to, like, completely obliterate their enemy, but when nobody values your life, yeah, there's just been another shooting. Probably could be in retaliation to this one. I don't know if you could, yeah, just heard them. You heard the shots? You get accustomed to this. We hear it every single night.
It's that sense of routine, or maybe fatalism, and it obscures a simple fact. Murders are not inevitable. There are things a city can do, which have been shown to work. And in 2012, New Orleans started doing them.
They really focused on who their problem offenders were, and the second part was concentrating efforts accordingly.
That's Nick Corsaro, an associate professor of criminal justice at the University of Cincinnati, who studied New Orleans' approach. Their plan was marketed locally as NOLA for Life, but researchers know it as focused deterrence. And what it is a strategy that's based on the realization that most murders are committed by a small percentage of the population, interrelated groups of people whom the police can identify and target.
You concentrate your efforts from policing, prosecution, probation, parole, federal prosecution, to let the offenders of those groups know specific activities will be focused on those individuals if they continue to engage in violence.
And that's what New Orleans did. It indicted some people involved in gang activity, and then it warned the rest of them. It did that by hauling them into the courthouse for call-ins, special meetings to put them on notice. Call-ins are based on the idea that certainty of punishment is what gets people's attention, that specific threats of imminent arrest matter more than vague threats of long prison sentences. Frank Young is a New Orleans police district commander, and he saw that effect up close.
At the time, I was working in Central City, which was where the violence was happening, and I watched it decline. I watched it dive. With every announcement of indictments that were made, violent crime went down, shootings were down, murders were down. It was incredible.
But now, that effect seems to have worn off. These days, Young commands the 5th District, just east of the French Quarter, where he's had 8 murders just in the first 6 weeks of the year. Ask him why, and he's got some theories. Too many people are leaving guns in their cars, which gets stolen. And kids are on social media starting beefs that turn homicidal. But he also has to admit that the focused deterrence program that worked so well a couple of years ago just isn't as active as it used to be. indictments have fallen off? And when was the last time they held call-ins, those special meetings where they bring in the potential gunmen and put them on notice?
We haven't had one in a while. Mm-hmm. Since when? Maybe October of last year? No, longer than that.
The answer is November 5th of 2015. It's been 15 months since the last call-in, even though it's a key part of their strategy. Why? Well, it may be a lack of resources. The police department is critically understaffed, especially since the recession, and it's under intense pressure from the public and the media to do more.
Nearly an hour and 20 minutes. That's the average time it takes the NOPD to respond to 911 calls.
The police department's scramble to improve response times came at the expense of other things, including the complex work of homicide prevention. And this kind of resource shifting isn't unique to New Orleans. The former chief here, Ronald Surpass, says he's seen officer shortages and recruiting problems in departments around the country.
What that results in is a police department that can only be reactive. There are the occasional proactive measures that can occur in a department as understaffed as the NOPD, but it cannot maintain it, and it cannot maintain that proactiveness that sends a message to the brazen criminal that there is a greater certainty of capture.
But even if the NOPD were fully staffed, its focus on homicide might still have wandered. That's what's happened in other cities that have tried this approach, says Jeff Asher. He's a crime analyst here.
It's hard to do call-ins and indictments, and after you've had sort of this first success, it's hard to sort of build on that. So I don't necessarily know that it's loss of political willpower, but I think sort of built into the strategy is this difficulty in maintaining momentum.
And when it loses momentum, there's a cost, because the researchers who developed focused deterrence say the real point long term is to reestablish the social contract between the police and the community, to say to people that stopping murders is a priority, even when it's just bad guys killing bad guys. The idea is to rebuild trust with people like Darren Aldridge.
You know, as a young black man, I always thought, you know, the police system was made to fail us, was made to lock us up, was made to keep us away from our family.
Aldridge had a scrape with the law when he was younger, but now he's got a job tutoring kids at an organization called the Youth Empowerment Project. But his skepticism about the police lingers, especially when there's a sense that the cops don't really care about solving certain kinds of murders. Some of the victims are members of his own family.
And half of them that's dead, we still ain't get justice from it. So it's like, you know, I feel like it's all a trap anyway.
And that's when people are tempted to take justice into their own hands, he says. That spiral of retaliation that drives the homicide rate in cities like this. Martin Costi, NPR News, New Orleans.